Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here in Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
It is the last, I think, episode of 2020. Holy shit. Can't believe we made it. If you're listening, we all made it out alive. So, fucking congratulations. Today, it is just me. It's just Brooke. And I know that if you've been listening all year, you already know the reason that Liz is not with me is because, yet again, 2020 threw a shit-filled curveball her way, and she is dealing with something else. So, we both had our fair share of shitty curveballs this year, and I don't even know what to say about it. It's so frustrating, but nothing surprises me anymore. Not when it comes to our lives, at least. So, everybody send up some good thoughts to her, please. She could use them. But for this episode, you can see from the title, we are talking about the Great Conjunction, aka the Great Hoopty Wuddy, for those of you who enjoy the Grinch as much as I do. I wanted to end this year's last episode out explaining a little more about what the Great Conjunction is, or I saw something that was like the Great Tetris, the Great Conjunction has been all over social media lately. Astrologers have been talking about it, witches have been talking about it, scientists have been talking about it. Anyone who uses social media, even if you're not into astrology, I guarantee you've probably seen something about this because it is a big deal. And I don't know if it's a big deal, more of a big deal this year because everyone is just grasping at straws looking for some way to find hope in the crap that 2020 has given us. But the Great Conjunction, I can't talk. The Great Conjunction did happen on Monday when I'm recording this. The 21st. So yeah, it happened. And me recording this right now, I can personally say that I didn't feel anything today. I have not felt any type of shift. I'll get to it later why, but I personally haven't felt any shift. I haven't felt any kind of psychic realizations. I was barely able to get out of bed today, to be honest. So maybe it's just my depression is kind of overruling any psychic abilities that I would have had going for me today. But if you didn't feel anything today, don't beat yourself up. It is totally normal. The effects that we're going to be experiencing because of the Great Conjunction are going to be very slow moving, and they're going to take place over the next 2 decades. By the time shit starts popping off, you will probably have forgotten that this day even existed. So, anyways, so you might be wondering what the Great Conjunction is. So, scientifically speaking, this thing, the Great Conjunction, marks Jupiter and Saturn, which are the two biggest planets, finally meeting up. So, astrologically speaking, these things are a big deal. These meetups are a big deal. And Jupiter and Saturn meeting up, that's a big deal. These are humongous planets. So you can see these at night, given that it's not cloudy, with no telescope if you know which direction to look in. That's how freaking big they are. And Jupiter, of course, is associated with luck and fortune, and it encourages us to practice optimism and do things we've always wanted to do and enjoy life and take big risks. And, you know, naturally, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Saturn, on the other hand, is totally different. So think about the comparison between these two as like the really fun parent and then the really strict one that doesn't let you have a fucking cell phone until you're like 17. Saturn's restrictive. And the good way to remind yourself of this is because Saturn has rings around it. So you can think of the rings as like a way of Saturn like reining in energy, keeping things in, not letting things slip out of the lines, keeping things on lockdown. Saturn is rigid, it's cold, it's unforgiving, it's uncompromising, and it is, of course, associated with being responsible, learning your lesson, sometimes the hard way, being mature. So, of course, imagine these two opposite, totally opposite planets coming together. That is like fire and ice, guys. That is like I said, the cool parent versus the annoying, up your ass, you better be home by 8 o'clock, strict parent. And the thing is that both of these planets are associated with long-term events because of the fact that they're so slow moving. Like, they're huge. Of course, they're slow. It takes Saturn about 30 years to complete its orbit, and Jupiter takes like 12 years. So in your lifetime, most likely Jupiter's made a complete orbit, you know, twice, probably, if you're 24 or so. And if you're older than that, you may, I mean, shit, Jupiter might have, I mean, not Jupiter, Saturn might have come around already for you. You might have already had your Saturn return. I'll do an episode on that way later. We'll plan that out because I'm pretty sure Liz and I are going to have our Saturn return together. Of course we're going to have our Saturn return together. Her birthday is just a few days before mine, so of course we are. Of course. But their orbits influence different parts of our lives, as opposed to daily, day-to-day things happening. So, you know, when Mercury is in retrograde, people tend to complain about communication issues and technological issues and miscommunication. And that's not how Saturn and Jupiter work. So if you don't know what a Saturn return is, typically when people are going through their Saturn return, a lot of shit's blowing up in their lives. Maybe they're getting a divorce. Maybe they're finding the love of their life. Maybe they're experiencing like a new sense of self. They're changing a career path. Just everything is like flipped upside down. So think of things on a much bigger scale with these planets rather than on a smaller scale, like with Mercury, when you're thinking like, oh, I better not take a road trip for the next 2 weeks, whatever, because Mercury's in retrograde. And honestly, I don't even say this enough on this show, but with Mercury retrograde, it's much better to be prepared for things instead of cowering in fear and refusing to go places and do things that you want just because a planet's moving backwards. Don't play into the hype like that. Don't be scared. Anyways, let's just move on. So Jupiter and Saturn, they meet up every 20 years together, and they bring us exactly what Monday was, the Great Conjunction. And you might be wondering, like, oh, when was the last one that happened? I did some research. The last one that happened was May 28th in 2000. And I don't know about you guys, I don't fucking remember what I was doing that day. I don't remember really anything about my life until like 2013 when I graduated high school. Let's be real, I do not remember. So I can't even tell you personally anything from I was like 6 years old. Why would I remember shit? I don't know. Jupiter and Saturn, I mean, they haven't come together in the sign of Aquarius for 800 years. 800 years! That is insane. They've been meeting up through Earth signs for 200 years, but they haven't been together in Aquarius for 800 years. Okay, big deal. That is a big deal. We're in the Aquarius age officially. Although I've heard a lot of people say that we've been living in the Aquarius age. I don't know what I choose to believe just yet. I'll have to look into that more. But now we're apparently officially into the age of Aquarius. So, long story short, December 21st was supposed to signal the beginning of a cultural reset, which after this year, I assure you, everybody can agree, we all definitely need. So some people were sending messages to me saying like, we're going to see aliens, something crazy is going to happen. No, we're not going to, I mean, aliens exist 100%, but don't expect them to just come like flying in through your window or anything like that. Don't expect the world to just magically get better overnight. This is going to be a slow shift. It's going to be a cycle. It's going to take a long time for us to see the true effects of Monday's astrological event. However, there are some things that astrologers have been predicting are going to happen due to the Great Conjunction. And some of this I've literally like had to copy and paste a lot of this information just so I have it all in one spot. So feel free to Google if you want more information about something that I'm saying. I'm just giving you guys a little bit of a rundown. So in Aquarius, the air sign associated with humanitarianism, innovation, and progress, both Jupiter and Saturn are focused on large-scale social issues. So like I said, not focusing on the day-to-day. Aquarius is associated with revolution and reform, as well as technology and modernization. So expect to see some huge-ass shifts in the next 20 years surrounding scientific breakthroughs, paradigm shifts, and public policy. I'm taking that to mean there's going to be some serious shit going down with legal matters, with laws, with people's financial stability, with caste systems. I'm hoping. I feel like we're about to take a giant step forward, but we're not going to realize how much of a giant step it was probably until most of us are well into our 40s. So both planets, like I said, are moving into the element of air. Air is associated with information, networking, communication, and for the past 200 years, we've been in like the Earth Age, which of course, ding, 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 corresponds with the climate change problem, global warming, the acceleration of the polar ice caps melting, all of that shit that all these millennials have been trying to shove down the boomers' throats for years, talking about carbon dioxide emissions and, you know, what the hell, CFCs and all the shit in hairspray. Everything that we have been complaining about to anyone who would listen, everything that we've been hearing about remember when we were kids and it was like the reduce, reuse, recycle? I'm pretty sure that's outdated now, but I remember that being a huge deal when I was a kid. Okay, and I'm 25 now. So that would, I mean, that not only, it's not only the past, you know, 20 years of my life that this has been a thing, the past 200 years. I mean, that's decades, okay? Think about like the 70s and 80s when people first really started to give a shit about what was happening to the environment. You know, peace and love and take care of Mother Earth and, you know, don't use more than you need to use. You don't need so much land. You don't need to use so much plastic. Like, you don't need more, more, more. That has been going on. That has been, it's been a thing. It's been a thing for hundreds of years, and now we're moving into a different age. And because we can go back and trace, all these points in time where people were really giving a fuck about the Earth and climate change, that's how I know that like what's happening next in the age of Aquarius, the air age, is like shit's actually gonna happen. And I'm totally getting derailed right now because I can hear Steven hollering on his fucking game in the other room and it's so distracting. So if I just got sidetracked, I'm sorry. And if you could hear him, I'm double sorry. I'm going to make him make me dinner tonight because he's ruining my podcast yet again. Anyways, so as Jupiter and Saturn shift from the Earth signs, which control possession and money and ownership, to air signs, which rule over progress and humanitarianism, we may finally be able to figure out new solutions to old, destructive, bad habits like deforestation and consumerism and the issue of always wanting more, 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 and never, ever, ever giving back to Mother Earth, ever. This could be the helping hand that we have been begging for years. We could finally stop having to stress so much about what kind of world our children and grandchildren are going to be left with. You know, we might finally make real progress with global warming and taking care of Mother Earth the way that she has taken care of us, even when we haven't been very deserving. So, now that you know the importance of the Great Conjunction this time around, I also wanted to give you guys some things you can do to celebrate the winter solstice / Yuletide, to plant new seeds for manifesting during this very pivotal astrological shift. So we're going to go over a few of those, and then I'm going to close out this episode for you guys, because honestly, I don't like talking to myself. I don't. Okay, so first, tarot cards. I've talked briefly on this show about tarot cards and how much Liz and I love using tarot and oracle decks to help guide us. Occasionally, we'll pull a card at the end of an episode. We don't really do it that often because it takes like a lot of time for me to edit out like background noises and like the sounds of cards shuffling, and it's just a lot of work sometimes. However, pulling cards is my number one choice when it comes to trying to center myself or get in a certain frame of mind for something ahead of me. I always do tarot readings for my birthday, and this year I'm going to do one for the new year as well. Pulling tarot cards is a great way to gain guidance and connect with the right kind of energy needed, not only for Yule and the winter solstice, but also for this big shift in the planets. If you know, are super interested in doing this and you don't have a specific layout in mind, that is totally fine. You can find so many of them on Pinterest just by searching Yule tarot reading. I mean, I did this the other day and I came up with one that had 6 cards in it, one had 12, one had 24. So whatever you've got time for and whatever doesn't overwhelm you, I strongly suggest trying this and then writing down what each card placement means, what card you pulled for that placement, and what you're taking from the meaning of the card. Another thing is journaling. So this isn't for everybody, I get it, but if you're like me and you just like enjoy detailing out all of your woes and angst and feelings like a 15-year-old teenage girl, journaling might be for you. So just like with the tarot cards and Pinterest, this is another good way to get right for the new year. And you can do it in many different ways. You can write out manifestations for yourself. So, for example, what job do you see yourself in next year? How financially stable do you see yourself next year at this time? Have you found the person you want to spend your forever with? When I manifest, I like to write down, I have, I am. I like to write it as if it's already happened and then just, you know, let it go and accept the fact that it's happened in the future somewhere. It is already taking place. Time is linear, if you believe in that. I do. Okay, you can definitely hear him yelling back there. But whenever I go into Target, I can't like leave without buying a new journal. And when it comes to journaling and manifesting, this is like, I'm probably not alone in this. So if what you need to sit down and journal is a brand new journal, go and get yourself a new damn journal, because Target has so many cute ones right now. So just like go and treat yourself for Yule. Just go get one. Okay, go and get one. Another one is candle magic. So even if you don't really want to amp yourself up to perform a spell with a candle, this is something cool that I read about the other day that can also kind of help with seasonal affective disorder. Lighting a candle every day and thanking the sun as the days grow longer, minute by minute. This is a great example, too, of working with this winter solstice, because many of us deal with depression. The days get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And a lot of us find ourselves getting very anxious, feeling we've got to accomplish everything that we want to do before 4:30 or so, because that's when it gets dark outside. If you live in, you know, like East Coast area of the United States where I live, you know what I'm talking about. For people who are listening in other parts of the world that don't take part in daylight savings, you're fucking lucky. It sucks. And I know why it exists, or why it used to. I know why there was a reason for it, like something to do with crops and, you know, them farmers needing like more daylight or something to farm their crops. But we don't even, like, there's no use for it anymore, and it just makes people fucking depressed, and I wish that it didn't exist. Okay, anyways. It's stressful, and it's sad, and it's depressing. So, lighting a candle and focusing on it in the evenings and being grateful for the fact that the sun is staying out just a minute longer every day is, like, a really cool way to work with the winter solstice. Another one, jar spells. I made a self-love spell jar tutorial on my YouTube channel earlier this past summer when I was, you know, more mentally stable before my life just fucking hit the fan. And if you want to watch that, you can find it. It's on my personal Instagram bio. There's a link in my bio. My Instagram is at Lil Witch with 3 H's. Jar spells are super easy, and it's a great way to put a ton of like festive ingredients in one little spot. And they can, I mean, they smell great if you leave them open. They're cute. You can sit them like about anywhere. They take up like no space. You can seal them with wax if you want and stick them in your purse and carry them around. I love them. I think I'm a big fan. You can make them for prosperity, you can make them for luck, love, health, protection, whatever your little heart desires for the new year. Pinterest, again, has tons of little ingredient lists you can follow to make any of these, but some of the most common ingredients that I can already tell you you're definitely going to find in these, cinnamon. Cinnamon goes in, like, prosperity and love jars. Rose quartz goes in love jars. Bay leaves goes in, like, a financial manifestation jar, manifesting something new, etc., etc. Don't let me limit you. Please go and check out Pinterest. I don't know how many times we have to encourage you guys to go to Pinterest. I think we do it every episode. We're just like, you know what? Pinterest. And I'm so sorry about it. Meditation. This is the last one. I'm not somebody who enjoys meditation. And I don't know if it is my mental illness, or if it's just like I've got an inability to stop thinking, I'm not good at it. I want to be, but I'm not good at it at this point in my life. And eventually one day I hope I'll be good at it when I can like really make myself sit down and quiet my mind and just chill. But at this point in my life, my anxiety is too fucking high to sit down and just be. And I'm not going to beat myself up over that. Not everybody is going to be your cup of tea, okay, man? Some people fucking like coffee. Anyways, if you are someone who has the bandwidth for meditation and enjoys meditating and it's not a difficult task for you to do, sitting down and just manifesting your way into the new year can be something super easy and beneficial. And it's a great way for you to get more connected, not only with the winter solstice and the energy from the Great Conjunction, but also just with yourself and with whatever you identify as source, whether that is a god or a deity or a spirit guide or an ancestor. It's a great way for you to just channel that kind of guiding light, positive energy, if that's what you're looking for. If you're not somebody who wants a journal, or you don't really want to light candles, or you don't really understand tarot cards, you don't have a tarot deck, don't have access to one, meditating can work just as well. But only if that's something that you're into. I don't like to force anybody to meditate, okay? Because at one point in my life, I was forced to meditate, and I kind of think that it put a bad taste in my mouth. I never wanted to admit that. I think I'm just now figuring it out. It's like being told to be quiet, though. I mean, you know, you're a kid, you get told to sit in the corner and stare at the fucking wall and just not speak. Like, nobody likes that, you know? I don't know. I definitely have some childhood trauma I need to address there. But anyways, It has been a really, really hard year. 2020 has fucking sucked ass. This conjunction in the sky, this big, beautiful astrological event, is hopefully going to offer us some hope that is very much needed, not only from 2020 and everything that's gone down this year, but for the past 20 years. I'm hoping that looking forward from 2021 on, we are just blasting and evolving light years away from the hatred and the separation and the angst and the anger and the unfairness and the instability of it all. I hope we are just growing past it, because I know I speak not only for myself, but also the collective as a whole. I'm fucking tired. I'm so fucking tired of this shit. God, okay. I don't know if there'll be another episode before the new year, because both of us will be with our families for Christmas and whatnot. But on the chance that this is the last episode of 2020, I want to say a little thank you on behalf of Rose and myself. I'm getting teary-eyed, okay? Thank you guys so much for listening to this show. When I started it back in January of this year, I had no clue what I was doing or how I was going to produce any content at all past, like, maybe 4 episodes. I had no idea what was going on. I am notorious for getting these big, huge, like, manic ideas and running with them, and then I get really depressed and I run out of steam and my project hits the ground, and I am really working on that. And this podcast has helped me work on that, because I know through hearing our conversations, other people are healing and other people are gaining knowledge, and that has really helped me this year. I had no idea COVID was going to happen this year. I know that Liz did not either. We never, ever in a million years could have guessed that what this year has held for us. Like, we never knew anything, any of this was going to happen, obviously. But, like, if you would have told me, yeah, there's going to be a massive pandemic and one of the only things that's going to get you out of bed on the weekends is recording a show with one of your best friends who lives on the other side of the United States, I would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it really has. I mean, this show has been a huge blessing in my life, and I know that it's been a blessing in hers too, and I'm so grateful that we get to go into a new year with this love project that we have. We're gonna be unveiling some new cover art soon. It's gonna have both of us in it. We're both really excited about it. And yeah, I'm grateful that you guys listen. I'm grateful that one of my best friends in the world agreed to, like, take this on with me. I'm grateful that this show is growing and that people feel comfortable enough and, you know, feel like they recognize my energy and her energy enough to reach out to us, like, on social media. You guys don't even know. We get so excited when you guys send us emails or messages. Like, it's such an unreal feeling. It's like, you know, complete strangers. I mean, you're not strangers. You're not. You're family. But people we've never met, you know, in person all over the world feel comfortable enough to ask us questions or just straight up just say, like, hey, I look forward to listening to your show on my way to work. Thank you guys. Like, no, thank you. Because as much as I would like to say that I would keep this show going if nobody was listening, I probably wouldn't, because why would I just want to record endless episodes for myself, you know? I could just talk to myself all day and not listen to the episode. We keep this going because of you guys, and this show, Witchful Thinking, has been one of the hugest, it's not a word, whatever, one of the biggest blessings that 2020 could have ever offered me. So I just wanted to say thank you. And if you don't hear from us again this year, stay tuned for 2021, because we will be coming at you real quick with another episode. So yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah. I know that I'm leaving out a ton. Happy Yuletide, duh. Happy Winter Solstice, Happy Great Conjunction. Okay, I gotta stop. Happy New Year. Here is to 2021 not being the shit show that 2020 was. Bye, everybody.